afternoon slash evening, morning, where, I don't know where you are, people. So whenever the fuck it is that you're listening to this, whether it be live or via iTunes or the Skid Row app or the Skid Row website, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, hi, I'm Service Slut, and sitting across from me is the ever beautiful, just magical and enchanting, and with just one look can tell me everything is just okay. Insidious memes.
Wow, I haven't checked my volumes here. Yeah. That's what I get for being distracted. Here's the problem is that I'm that person that crams and does all their homework the night, or their term paper the night before. can still squeeze by with a fucking bee. But so I'm cramming right now as we speak for our term paper, which is this show.
Yes, this show is our weekly term paper. So today's topic is erotica. I can't even count the ways that erotica makes me so wet. It makes me so just tingly in my special places. There's nothing like it. I mean, sure, I can go on, you know, Pornhub or whatever, or this awesome humiliation site that I can't fucking remember the goddamn address, but holy fuck. And if I want to see like two women topping like this other girl and like totally making like a dog out of her, oh, it's awesome. It's great. But sometimes, actually a lot of the time for me, porn doesn't really cut it, you know, because you could always tell when somebody's faking it, and you could always tell when it just, I don't know, sometimes it just don't feel right. Except for like, you know, man on man stuff, because fuck, man, they like into it and like, but whatever, I'm totally.
You like watching gay male porn?
Yeah.
All right.
Because
cool.
This is why though. And it's not because of the penis factor. That is so not.
I know. You don't like cock. It's
no.
Weird.
But like, there's a lot of fucking passion and just, I don't know. It just gets me going. But anyways, sometimes porn just doesn't do it for me. So I have to go other avenues. And that will usually be erotica. And what I love about it is that whether it's nonfiction or fiction, it based on someone's talent to string words together, I can paint this fantastic image.
It's such a great thing. You know what the great thing is? That you're not, the one of the things I love about erotica, I mean, the words, you're right, but you're not beholden to the casting director.
Yeah.
To somebody that literally with a flinch of their face will distract the fuck out of me over what I'm watching. And I know, yeah, it's porn. I get it. I'm still a picky bitch. And I still kind of have a thing about that. Whereas erotica, you know, you can... hell, I can cast it myself, and I do, and I love that. So yeah, you need to continue because I'm still reading. I'm looking for a very specific scene.
I know you are. During the course of this show, we will be blessed with a reading done by Mistress, and those of you who have heard her sultry voice read something that is really, really dirty. Just saying, guys, get that lotion out.
Whatever. Well, it depends because what if these types, I mean, because if you're not a kinky person, because here's the thing about what we're going to be reading is, number one, we're going to be reading excerpts from Anne Rice's Sleeping Beauty trilogy. And we decided to just stick with this for several different reasons. But there's just too much erotica out there. Let's start with that. And this is, you know, this is the kind of the thing that started a lot of people that I know on this particular path. I mean, it was very underground 25 years ago, which is when I discovered this series. Mm-hmm. Far too young. Far too young.
Oh, so but impressionable. yeah, right. Like you were ever impressionable.
And you know what? I was. And that hurts.
Respectfully.
Hurts. Yeah, with all due respect, fuck you. But within this, it's a very homoerotic series. And some people will be like, some people will be like, ooh. And then there's some people who just aren't into humiliation. I don't know many of those people, but
that
they exist.
That are not into humiliation?
Yeah.
I don't know. It happens. No. And I absolutely respect anyone who is not into that. That's perfectly fine.
That's cool. Hey, I'm not going to force it.
No. Hell no.
It's going to be all in there. Let's find the scene with the fruit.
Are you looking? I don't know. Anyways, go ahead. Do your thing. But like, as I was saying, there's something about, you know, intelligent writing. it doesn't have to be cheap. You know, it doesn't have to be something where you cut right to the chase and they're fucking or whatever that climactic scene is. It doesn't have to be like that. And a lot of times what I have found in my never ending quest for the best erotica out there, because I look at a lot of it. You know, it's funny because I could always tell, oh, this is totally written by a guy. Totally written by a guy about two chicks, right? Because I'm a chick. So I know what things look like, and I know, you know, I'd like to think that I know what it's like to think as a girl. And some of these things, like I start reading them and I just like, oh, we're, I have to pass on this. Because it's just, no, this is not making it happen down there. There is other writing. Because I can speak correctly. there's writing out there where it just takes me. It takes me in. It gives me this this frame of I know it's going to be kinky because let's face it, it's really awesome that on the internet you can search for specific type of erotica. But so I start reading it and it kind of gives me like a short background on, you know, who the characters are and what's happening. And I get drawn in slowly. I start getting invested with the character that I'm identifying with. It's because for me, it's not always, this is just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird, but when I'm reading erotica, I want to be able to identify with whoever the bottom is. And if it's not, if there's not some sort of connection going on where there's those feelings of, again, for me, of humiliation, then it's really hard for me to feel like, okay, yeah, this is going to aid in my subsequent masturbation. Then I just...
Bang, bang.
Exactly. I just click next, or I click back to go back to like my search results of, you know, whatever.
Oh, you young people and your internet. Oh.
But that's what it's like for me though. You know, I don't look for something short. I look for something with chapters because I like the up and down. I like getting invested in the story. This like, you know, initial almost like entrapment of submission or slavery, and then the initiation, and then the kind of and this, the journey of this person through whatever the fuck it is that's happening. You know, and that's one thing. That's one scenario for me. The other scenarios that work for me are the. Are the types where there's blackmail. What? Not because in real life it would not take much to get me to...
No, it wouldn't.
It really wouldn't. But I start reading these things and I like... It's not so much the dirty details that get me in. It's the just regular character flaws or whatever kind of qualities that this person has. You know,
relatability.
Yes. That thing that you just said.
Are you going to be useless if I start reading these things?
The thing, see, here's the problem, people, is that on the way over here, she was already reading these things that make me a little crazy down there. And so I'm having a hard time. Don't judge me.
I am judging you with my judgy eyes. I always judge. That's what I do.
You judge me?
Yeah, it's kind of my job.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it goes.
But yeah, I mean, and the thing is that with this series, this particular series, there's a lot of relatability.
For you, yeah, definitely.
And there's a lot of, there's a lot of relatability and there's a whole lot of, oh, I want that. I want that to happen to me.
Yeah, there's a lot of getting in the mind of the submissive or the slave or, you know, whatever it is you want to call it, which I think is really interesting. You know, there's not a lot of getting into the mind of the top.
Now, I was going to ask about that. What do you as a top get out of erotica?
Well, it's not all submissive oriented erotica.
No, of course
mostly
not.
It really is. I'll say that. But also it's just kind of the acts. It's kind of cool because I can look at it, even though I'm not coming from that mind frame, I can look at it and still find, you know, it arousing because, wow, yeah, that's fucking hot. I would totally, you know, do that to somebody. And it's not even that whether it'd be something I would or would not do. You can't debate that, hey, that's pretty fucking hot. In my opinion, especially some of these things. So
then for you, it's more just the act. I'm wondering if there's any type of relatability on your end.
No, I mean, I can't like for this, the protagonist is beauty. Uh-huh. For the most part, there are a couple chapters that switch to a couple other characters, but I can't relate to her at all. I mean, I just can't. But I find myself relating to whoever her master or mistress is at the moment, and I find it what is compelling about the series is how it gets into what she's going through, mm-hmm. and her not just acceptance but craving of these acts and the submission and whatever it is. And so for me, I find that very interesting. It's very enjoyable to read that because it's, you know, it's good to know, you know, for somebody who had to struggle with, you know, her own kind of dominance and sadism and stuff, to know that there's a yin to my yang, that I'm not just fucking crazy. So
you don't just want to do things to these people.
I'm not just horrible. I'm not a serial killer. It's not what I am. Or, you know, potential, not like Jeffrey Dahmer light. It's not, you know what I'm saying? So there is a comfort to that. But it is also very, for me, the series is very well written. She's a great writer. You know, she sold a lot of books and not just of these.
Yeah.
I used to have these books back in the day where you couldn't buy them in any bookstore. They were only in certain bookstores. And I'm not talking like they were in, you know, filthy bookstores, but usually these are kind of like the smaller bookstores. Mm-hmm. Back then there was, those bookstores when they used to exist?
Was this before the internet?
This actually was before the internet. Was, children. We read things before the internet. So anyway, there was no try before you buy. Anyway, no Amazon. But it was definitely, and now they've re-released it in 2012 because 50 Shades of Grey has been so successful, so popular. Mm-hmm. So they figured, hey, let's go mainstream. Let's make some money. I bought this trilogy at Target. Mm-hmm. Target. That's, and this is hardcore erotica. This 50 Shades is like, it's like preschool Play-Doh, mm-hmm. compared to, you know, fucking Michelangelo. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with.
This might be something that I would blush about if someone asked me, hey, what's that book you're holding?
I've had people.
What are you reading?
Ask me about that.
This would make me blush.
Doesn't matter to me.
Well, no, of course it doesn't matter to you, but I'm saying like it just would make me, because if someone was like, hey, I should pick that up and read it, and they saw me reading it, then I guess, you know what? I guess this is what those housewives go through when the people see them reading the 50 Shades.
Which is why they want it on their Kindle, which I've had several admit to me. And I'm like, really? Oh, fuck you.
Because, yeah. So anyways.
Shall we read?
Oh, people, hold on to your fucking panties.
So anyway, we're going to start chronologically as the books are done. We're just doing some excerpts. And it's kind of sad how, I don't know, whatever. The last of the series is really thick in plot. It's not bad. It's got really great scenes in it, but it's thick in plot, and it makes it so in order for you to understand the eroticism of a moment, it has to be in context. So I'd have to read like 20 pages, and I'm not going to do that.
No.
So I think I have one scene from the last book. I've got, I don't know, four from the first. I've got three from the second, but they're awesome. And they get longer. And I apologize because I don't get to like cut and edit and redo, and I'm going to fuck this shit up. It's just the way it goes. So this is... I am reading from The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty, which is the first book in the trilogy. It is by Anne Rice, or writing as A.N. Roquelaur. I'm sorry, I should be able to pronounce it. I speak French. This is page 2, to kind of give you an idea of how subtly she starts. Page 2. Just keep that in mind. I'm going to try and read this. Her face was perfect to him, and her embroidered gown had fallen deep into the crease between her legs so that he could see the shape of her sex beneath it. He drew out a sword, with which he had cut back all the vines outside, and gently slipped the blade between her breasts, let it rip easily through the old fabric. Her dress was laid open to the hem, and he folded it back and looked at her. Her nipples were a rosy pink, as were her lips, and the hair between her legs was darkly yellow and curlier than the long hair of head on her head, which covered her arms almost down to her hips on either side. He cut the sleeves away, lifting her ever so gently to free the cloth, and the weight of her hair seemed to pull her head down over his arms, and her mouth opened just a little bit wider. He put his sword to one side. He removed his heavy armor, and then he lifted her again. His left arm under her shoulders, his right hand between her legs, his thumb on top of her pubis. She made no sound. But if a person could moan silently, then she made such a moan with her whole attitude. Her head fell forwards towards him, and he felt the hot moisture against his right hand, and laying her down again, he cupped both of her breasts and sucked gently on one and then the other. They were plump and firm, these breasts. She'd been 15 when the curse struck her, and he bit at her nipples, moving the breasts almost roughly so as to feel their weight, and then lightly he slapped them back and forth, delighting in this. His desire had been hard and almost painful to him when he had come into the room, and now it was urging him almost mercilessly. He mounted her, parting her legs, giving the white inner flesh of her thighs a soft, deep pinch, and clasping her right breast in his left hand. He thrust his sex into her. He was holding her up as he did this, to gather her mouth to him. As he broke through her innocence, he opened her mouth with his tongue and pinched her breast sharply. He sucked on the lips and drew the life out of her into him, and feeling his seed explode within her, heard her cry out. And then her blue eyes opened. "Beauty," he whispered to her. She closed her eyes, her golden eyebrows brought together in a little frown and the sun gleaming on her broad white forehead. He lifted her chin, kissed her throat, and drawing his organ out of her tight sex, heard her moan beneath him. Page two, kids. Page two.
I just would like to say that I'd like us to fuck.
Do I need a sword?
Oh, this is so
insane. Need a sword for that?
Let's fuck.
That's page two. So, not for the lighthearted.
No, definitely not. Mm-hmm. I think that's for our crowd. Just saying. That's for our crowd. For you people listening.
That's right. This is a gift, kids. It's a gift. I'm sure we're doing some sort of copyright infringement at some point.
But we're doing it because we're fans. Does that count?
I'm sure that's what everybody from the in the Napster world. Again, before your time.
No. I remember that. Totally.
You don't remember the beginning.
Oh, well. Sorry.
You were what? Three?
Fuck you. Respectfully. before you read another. Why do you think that something like okay, yes, we know this is great writing because it's fucking Anne Rice and shit. But why do you think that something like this is so, it draws you in, aside from the relatability? Because
topic-wise or what? I mean, because it you can't separate the writing and the relatability. I mean, it's all kind of all in one. It's tapping into kind of a really dark desire on some level that you have, that whomever is reading this and enjoying it has. And there's a private, it's fairly private to be able to enjoy erotica because it's, you know, it's not on your TV. It's just kind of, there's an intimacy to reading a book, I believe, that is very different from watching a video. You're not, I feel that you're being spoon-fed with some sort of a video or porn. I love porn, don't get me wrong, but it's just a very different experience. Whereas reading it, it's in your mind. I mean, you're building this world in your head and it's internalized within you. And it's a very intense, emotional, intimate experience. And this is tapping into that kind of darkness that a person that is into kink and into BDSM has a lot of these darker desires that they've, you know, some of them have just really kind of kept down and that's where they are. And so being able to kind of allow this to grow and flourish like a greenhouse inside, I think is what appeals to people, in my opinion.
That's beautiful. Did you just compare that to a greenhouse? Is that what just happened?
Instead of like keeping everything just in the dark, you know, you're making, like, reading kinky erotica, if you're a closeted kinkster, is like putting a greenhouse inside so it's not just in the dark. Does that make sense?
Yes. Now it makes sense.
Doesn't that make sense? Did I not? I don't know.
Fuck. No, you probably made sense.
You never know what's
really
going on.
I was really distracted by what's going on down here.
Well, then you should not have, we should not be doing an erotica episode.
But you knew this was going to happen. Like, you knew that. You know this.
All right, we got more. I got a lot to read. We got chop.
The entire episode cannot be reading, because especially you reading, because it's just gonna fuck me up, man.
All right, I'm sorry. We're on page 23 of the first book. And this is the excerpt that I read to young Miss Nancy to say, hey, you're going to love this book. So this speaks to her kinky side. Remember this? Okay. On her hands and knees, she hurried across the rough boards of the inn floor to fetch his plate from the kitchen. And though she was allowed to walk back with it, she was on all fours to fetch his flagon. The soldiers devoured their supper, throwing silent glances at her by the light of the fire. She wiped the table for the prince, and when a morsel of food spilled from his plate on the floor, he commanded Beauty to eat it. With tears spilling from her eyes, Beauty obeyed, and then he gathered her, still on her knees, into his arms and rewarded her with a dozen of wet and loving kisses. Obediently, she put her arms around his neck. But this little morsel spilling had given him an idea. He ordered her to quickly fetch a plate from the kitchen and then told her to lay it on the floor at his feet. He put food for her there from his plate and told her to lift her heavy hair behind her shoulders and eat it only with her mouth. You are my kitten, he laughed gaily, and I would forbid all those tears if they weren't so beautiful. Do you want to please me? Yes, my prince, she said. With his foot, he pushed her plate several paces away and told her to turn her buttocks to him as she continued her meal. He admired it, realizing the red marks from her spanking had almost healed. With the toe of his leather boot, he nudged at the silken hair he could see between her legs, felt the moist, plump lips beneath the hair, and sighed, thinking her so very beautiful. When she had finished her meal with her lips, she pushed the plate back to his chair, as he had ordered her to do. And then he wiped her lips himself and fed her some wine from his own cup.
We should do that.
We should do that. Is that what you want to do?
I want to do a lot of things with you that are in that.
Is that all you have to say? So when I read, I mean, I knew that this was exactly the kind of thing that you would love. That kind of objectification, that kind of, you know, and that when you read erotica and you read something like that, where does your head go?
It's gonna
can
sound,
you think?
I can think and I can speak. I can do all of the things.
I can think.
Initially, I think, hell yeah, I want that to happen to me. That is almost always my first thought. I want this to happen to me. I'm lucky to have a D-type that can help, that can aid in making these things happen. But aside from you know, you being in my life and you know, that whole thing.
Carry on.
I'm trying to break it down, okay? So initially I think, yeah, I want this to happen to me. Then secondarily, I think I hope that I have that same reaction. That what I'm feeling right now reading this is exactly the same thing that I feel when this happens to me.
It won't be.
Well, no, I know that.
There's a dozen things in reality that impact that fantasy.
I understand that. Yes. But I'm saying that's how I react when I read it, though, is because I, you know, though I envision feeling a certain way while I'm reading this happening to somebody else that I can relate to. Of course, yes, logically, I know that there are outside factors and whatnot. And on top of that, you know, our life is not like a work of fiction, you know, you are fantastic and creative. And what if it's like that time?
That's fantastic.
What if it's, what if it is like that scene, but like multiplied by like, I don't know what, and then like some other like disgusting things that happen, then yes, of course, my reaction to it will be completely different. But upon reading it, yeah, I think, fuck, this, because it takes me back to when I initially started exploring all and everything kinky, where I had always read erotica and I never really thought, okay, this could actually happen for me. These things could happen, or something similar could happen to me. Now I read erotica and I think, yeah, actually, this can happen to me. This can totally happen. This can be arranged. Hey, if I ask politely, this could happen next weekend.
This is true, actually.
So, yeah, I mean, aside from the obvious reaction in, you know, like my clitoris, and then like, you know, the whole vibrating shit that happens there after I finish reading, or if I even get to finish, because let's face it, people, you stop in the middle of reading and you get the shit done, and then maybe you finish reading because there might be another fucking climax and you might want to orgasm again.
A rub one out break.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
There's a scene in the first book that you specifically wanted me to find.
I did. And humiliation really isn't for everyone.
No.
While I think it's amazing and just simply like the fucking ambrosia of all submission, it is not like that for everyone. But it's really hard. When it can be done in a way where the relationship between two people, or the being, just the manifestation of your submission, can be demonstrated in such a beautiful way. Oh, fuck yeah. I'm all for it. Because ultimately it's that surrender. It is, because in real life, anyone who is bottoming for that kind of thing can get up. Well, assuming you're not restrained, can get up and walk away, you know, or simply safe word or whatever. But the fact that you can and you don't, I mean, it's something that to me is just so beautiful. And when I read that particular part, it just, I mean, granted, the whole fucking series is, you know, the whole thing is hot. But this was something where it highlighted the surrender in the entire series for me.
Okay.
Because it just felt like the description of being placed in such a low level that you are fucking beneath the most beneath and still feel like prideful in your submission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, while it aroused me, it made me feel good. It made me feel good about me. And it made me really look forward to the next time that something like that happens, or better, just saying.
Okay, so this is from a male's perspective.
And you guys, it's that good. It's from a male's perspective, and I still thought it was fucking hot.
There are penises.
I know, and I still thought it was hot.
All right. Why, to me, the stable boys were royalty. And one of them in particular had become quite fascinated with me. He was big, very strong. He could mount me into his whip handle so that my feet barely touched the ground and force me along, my back arched, my hands bound, almost carrying me. He delighted in doing this. And one day he took me off to a part of the garden alone. I tried once to struggle against him, and he simply flipped me over his knee effortlessly. He forced me down in the grass and told me that with my teeth, I was to pick the little white flowers there for him, or he would take me back to the kitchen. I can't tell you how willingly I obeyed him. He kept his whip handle inside me and forced me this way and that way with it. And then he commenced to torment my penis. Yet even as he slapped it and abused it, he would stroke it. To my horror, I felt it swell. I wanted to stay with him forever. I thought, what can I do to please him? And I was humbled by this, in despair, for I knew that this was just what the queen had wanted in punishing me. I was convinced, even in my madness, that if she knew how much I suffered, she would release me. But my mind was empty of thought. I knew only that I wanted to please my stable boy, lest he return me to the kitchen. I fetched the little flowers in my teeth and brought them back to him. He told me then I was too bad a prince to be treated so gently by everyone, and that he knew how to punish me. He ordered me to mount a nearby table. This was a round wooden table, weathered but often draped and used when any of the court wanted to come take their repast in the garden. I obeyed at once, but I was not to kneel there. I was to squat with my legs wide apart and my hands behind my neck and to keep my eyes down. This was unbelievably degrading to me, and yet all I could think was to please him. Of course, he spanked me in this position. He had a leather paddle, heavy but thin with a powerful wallop. and he commenced swatting my buttocks with it. And yet I remained there, unshackled but obedient, my legs aching as I squatted, my penis all the time swollen as he tormented me. My stable boy grew tired of it. He ordered me back down to the grass on my hands and knees and took me deeper into the woods. I was completely unbound, yet I was under his will utterly. Now he found a tree and told me to stand up and grasp the limb over my head. I hung by the limb, my feet off the ground, as he raped me. He thrust in deep and hard and repeatedly. I thought it would never end, and my poor penis was hard as the tree itself was suffering. And when he was finished, the most extraordinary thing happened. I found myself kneeling at his feet, kissing his feet. More than that, I was twisting my hips and thrusting and doing all in my power to beg him to relieve the passion between my legs, to allow me some release, for I had known absolutely none in the kitchen. He laughed at all this. He pulled me up, impaled me into his whip handle, and drove me back towards the kitchen. I was weeping as uncontrollably as ever in my life.
Unshackled but obedient.
Exactly.
That phrase right there. And the thing is that for as much as there's fantastic porn out there, you don't get that. You don't get that from the person that's bottoming.
Well, and that's the difference between, I mean, porn is about the visual and it's great, but you're not going to get that internal dialogue. Mm-hmm. And so much of kink is what's going on in your head.
Yep.
It's not just, you know, being whipped or being flogged or being caned. It's not just that. I mean, yeah, if you're a top or a bottom, that can be all that it is. And it's like, hey, good game. It's fun. Let's go. You know, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't impact you mentally in that way. And that can happen. And that's fantastic. If you're just a masochist or just a sadist, that's great. But if you're one of those people that want to embrace it from the mentality of it, then you miss all of that if you're not looking at it from, you know, erotica, where it really does go deep into the inner dialogue, which is awesome.
If you're listening and you'd like to call in, our phone number is 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562. Though I'll warn you right now that if you call and she's in the middle of an excerpt, no, you will hold. Because, I want to do, damn. You should read things like that all the time.
Oh, should I?
Yes, please.
Like that all the time.
All the time.
How about if you just imagine everything I say is said in my voice?
No, but see.
Do you see? Because it's still my voice. It's still me.
Oh, fuck, man.
Sorry, I can only be serious so much.
No. I'm not even talking about the tone, man. I'm just talking about like the sexual things that come out of your mouth.
Yeah. Can I do another one?
So soon already? Let me recover.
Nope. No mercy. On to the second book. I've just said, I have to jump around. I'm running out of time. Okay, I got to get to, if I want to get to some of this shit, I got to keep going. So the second book has a couple really good ones in here. Wait, what do I have in that one?
Oh, I hope it's not something that, like, I haven't read yet.
You're going to get to something that you haven't read yet.
Okay.
There will be, because there's one that's just one of my favorite. The one I was looking for when we started the show. But that's not what I'm starting with. So when, we have a call. Okay, well, hold on real quick. Take the caller. Who is it? Hi.
Well, go ahead and keep talking. You're cool. I want to hear.
Well, no, because now I'm going to start reading. So, hey, what's up?
Oh, you're going to start reading. Oh, no, and I'm interrupting reading. I can hang up. No. Reading.
It's okay, because it wasn't in the middle of the excerpt. That was key.
Oh, no, we wouldn't have answered then.
Nancy, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why? Why does humiliation appeal to you so?
Oh, such a loaded question.
And it is. We've done a humiliation topic.
And it's my favorite question. You know, I can give you my reasoning for it, but for you, because she's my mistress and she knows me so well, she probably knows like the deep down reasons why. I love feeling vulnerable. And I love being able to trust. So humiliation just kind of seems like this like golden nugget of just ultimate trust and it not being violated. It is me at my most bare, like even if I had clothes on, I'd still feel naked. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does, but it still doesn't. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Humiliation.
It seems, I don't understand humiliation play. Forgive me. It doesn't make any sense to me. Only because there's such, I guess if it's not done in a negative way, that's the only part that I don't understand why it would appeal, is the negativity of it. It seems like it's a little degrading, but you like
it's,
that.
It's a lot degrading. Here's for you as a top. There's going to be a lot of play that you don't get, you don't understand.
Okay. Good.
But it takes, and I will tell you this: it takes years of accepting that is enjoyable for them. It's just the way that it is. The great, you know, advantage for me is that I enjoy humiliating. I personally can't tolerate being humiliated. But I enjoy doing it, and the fact that I have a partner that enjoys it as well is fantastic. And I have I now have just accepted the fact that there are just some things that I'm not going to be able to understand, which I don't like saying, but it's a true statement. I'm never going to really be able to truly, at the depth, put together, you know, the finite reasons why she enjoys it or why somebody enjoys it. But I have to accept that it is what it is.
And it makes me happy.
I have to know that what I'm doing is not damaging. These are the key components for me as a top. That's all.
You don't necessarily need to understand.
No.
It to do it well.
Absolutely. Do I do it well?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But I don't get it. Well, but here's the thing is that though she may not get it 100%, she still ensures that she's being safe with me, that I'm not being damaged in a way that is not repairable.
Well, what I get is I get her psychology. I get, you know, that's what I get. So because of that, I know what to not go for. And I'm almost always, I'm going to err on the side of caution and I don't push it. You know, we've been having some interesting fantasy talks the last couple of days. And one of them is really on a hard limit of hers. And it's one of those, I would be very hesitant to do that because it's one of your hard limits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a physical hard limit. There's a mental and emotional component to it as well that I wouldn't want to push. Fuck, physically, you know, we can talk about that. But the mentally, that those hard limits, I'm very, very concerned about violating. And that's one of those things where before you engage in any sort of humiliation play, and we've done this topic before you engage in humiliation play, you have to make sure that you are good at what you're doing and you're not going to hurt them.
And it's a brand new type of negotiation too. It's
constant.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, with most of the things that you and I do, I mean, we are in tune with each other where it's, you know, we don't have to go into super, super in detail. But when it comes to humiliation, degradation, and anything that is mostly more of a mental, emotional landmine kind of thing, we are constantly talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Always.
Yeah, I found that. It's almost draining.
But worth cool. it.
Okay. Okay, thanks, guys. Go back to Ruby.
Thanks
I
for the call,
just
hon.
Curious. Bye.
We did
do a humiliation episode, didn't we?
Yeah. Is it just me or do we have a call waiting? No? Okay, thank you.
There's a person in the booth I don't know. Who is that person?
He's been here before. What are you talking about?
I've never seen this person before.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
I put my glasses on because I'm telling you I haven't seen this person before.
Yeah, you have.
I have not seen this person before in my entire life.
Oh, you know what?
I'm not fucking crazy. I don't know this person. I mean, I don't care. I'm just saying, I do care. I'm not being mean. I care. I just don't. You can do whatever you want in the booth. I'm just saying, I don't know this person.
No. But you know what, though? He was here first that weekend that you weren't here.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You don't know David yet?
No, I don't know. I'll meet him later.
The new board op?
I just looked over and it wasn't you. That's
He's
all I'm
cool.
saying.
He's the homie. We're training him right now.
Hey, there's another call on the line.
Yeah, we got another caller.
Ready? Hello?
We're never going to get through this book.
Hi. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. That spicy guy.
Hey. How are you? What's up?
Well, I was listening to you two talk, and first off, good afternoon, ladies. Pleasure to hear you.
Yay.
I like this conversation about erotica.
What if erotica appeals to you?
Well, you know, it's actually changed over time. So I think that in my younger days, it was more like, I guess you might say, where's the fap to? And cause that was about all I could kind of wrap my head around is, you know, words, images, and they had to be closely aligned because, you know, truthfully, it was probably more about the images that it was packaged up with than anything else, because it gave the suggestion and provided kind of like the raw material to go for the release. But, you know, the thing that I found, especially in more recent years, and, you know, I kind of getting interested in the whole, the lifestyle, I guess you might say, mm-hmm. has been around being able to, number one, it's been a source of ideas on, you know, wow, I could actually visualize myself doing that. And the other thing that I really like is when, and I think that one of the examples, the first example you read about Sleeping Beauty was actually really good in terms of I visualize the relationship between the two, not necessarily what they're doing. I mean, what they're doing is kind of interesting, but how the relationship manifests itself, both in how the aspect of dominance comes forth or the aspect of submission comes forth, and, you know, how they actually consummate that is, well, okay, yeah, they're going to do that. And that's not necessarily as interesting to me as it is the relational dynamic.
I agree. Again, it's about the kind of the inner dialogue component.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that you guys get ideas from Veronica, though. Because there's some of us that really benefit from the ideas that you D-types get. So please read more erotica. Please, pretty please.
I think it's also interesting that your comment about that it's not necessarily from the D-types perspective of, you know, like the writing. I think that's also interesting, too. And one of the, I read a story by Shelby Cross, and it was about, I think it was titled Anal Sex in an Elevator or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Oh, that was that awesome or what?
Oh, God, that was hot. It was so hot, and it's very hard. You guys can understand. I mean, heterosex is can be really hard for me to even closely relate to, but that, man, that was hot stuff. It was steamy.
You can have anal sex.
I can have anal sex, but I mean, I don't want to have it with a penis bearing person. Just saying. Sorry, continue.
And the thing I really liked about the story wasn't as much the fact that it, you know, she could probably have just as easily done that with two men or a woman having a strap on.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that she constructed the scene and the fact that they were, you know, she saw him regularly, and that it, again, the whole relational dynamic component came into play where, you know, it was like turning the tables where it took her by surprise and wham, an entirely new thing that she'd never experienced before. And that was like taking their relationship to the next level. So I really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yet again, another example why I prefer erotica to porn. The senses get they get heightened in real life. I mean, that is how, I mean, at least for myself, that is how I experience my kinky experiences. Everything just becomes magnified. And when you're watching porn, unfortunately, they have not come up with the kind of TV where you can smell everything, you can taste everything. And at least when you're reading,
ew.
What? Ew, you're fucking gross.
What the fuck?
Oh my goodness.
Because I said ew. Some people I don't want to smell.
Oh, okay. I'm done then.
Just saying, sorry. Some people I don't want to smell.
Sorry.
Some people I do want to smell. I don't want to be, you know, assaulted. I don't want to have my olfactory senses raped. That's just wrong.
Oh, goodness.
Well, and while we're on the subject of porn, you know, one of the things I found over at least the past couple of years is that I hate to say traditional porn because I don't know that there's traditional compared to non-traditional, even some of the kinky. It's like, I can't watch it. Well, not like I can't watch it, but it doesn't provide me with any compelling benefit. I don't particularly care for it. I would much, and, you know, even basic imagery, you know, like some of the stuff that you would see on Tumblr. not all that great. But if you mix some words into that where there's some sort of good story going along, whether it's a submissive perspective or a dominance perspective, that stuff I can, that starts to get my interest, because now it's taking and combining the media, in a way where it actually gets me thinking about, what I'd like to do, when I might like to do it, where.
I agree. No, I understand. Absolutely. Well, thank you for the call, Spicy Guy.
And we'll, see you soon. And we'll soon see you soon.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye.
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 We're out of time, man.
I like this topic so
much. I've already like edited out like two other things.
Jeez,
like,
why are you so anxious?
I don't have to. Fine.
Cool. No.
Left. So
I'm sorry.
How's your weekend? It's good. Good. This last is a very long one, and I don't think you've read it yet.
Please.
I don't have to. Okay. I don't know how many people want to talk. We can talk. I can do lots of talking. That's not reading. But I do like the fact that I can prove I know how to read, other than Twitter. I don't think Twitter counts as reading, though. That goes towards the literacy score.
You're smart. You got the smarts.
I got the brains. No strings. All right. This is from actually a book, book two, towards the end of book two. I thought it was in book three, but apparently it's the final chapter of book two.
You guys, close your eyes while you listen to this.
Unless you're driving. Come on, let's be smart, kid.
Well, then fucking pull over and close your eyes.
Well, now this is something you have not heard, little Miss Nancy. The lovely young men surrounding her, rubbing the golden oil into her skin, smiling down at her as they worked, stretching her arms up and back, training her fingers to hold tight again to the edge of the cushion. And she saw a brush dipping down to color her nipples carefully with glittering gold pigment. She was too shocked to make a sound. She lay still as her lips were also painted. Then the soft hairs of the brush skillfully lined her eyes with the gold, stroking it onto her lashes. Great jeweled earrings were shown to her, and with a little gasp, she felt her earlobe stabbed, but her silent, smiling captors hastened to shush and console her. The earrings dangled from the tiny burning wounds, and the pain dissolved as she felt her legs drawn apart, and a bowl of brightly colored, glistening fruits was held above her. The little armor of mesh was removed from her sex, and tender fingers patted and stroked her until the sex awakened. Then she gazed into the same lovely, olive-skinned face of the man who had first greeted her. Her attendant, he must be. And she saw that he was taking the fruit from the bowl. Dates, pieces of melon and peach, tiny pears, dark red berries, and that he was carefully dipping each piece in a silver cup of honey. Her legs were stretched wide apart, and she realized the honeyed fruit was being placed inside of her. Her well-taught sex tightened irresistibly as the silky fingers forced the quartered melon deep within, and the next piece, and the next, bringing stronger and stronger flushes and sighs from her. She couldn't keep from moaning, but this her captors seemed to approve. They nodded, their smiles growing even brighter. She was filled with fruit. She felt it bulging from her, and now she was shown the glistening bunch of ripe grapes that was laid between her legs, and a lovely sprig of white flowers was dangled over her face, and her mouth was open with the sprig laid between her teeth, the waxy petals fluttering against her cheeks and chin ever so lightly. She tried not to bite down on the stem, merely to hold it firmly. Her underarms were being painted thickly with honey, and something, a plump date perhaps, was being pressed into her navel. Jeweled bracelets went about her wrists, and she was being fitted with heavy anklets. She undulated almost irresistibly on the pillow as the tension mounted in her, the vague infatuation with the smiling faces. And she knew fear, too, as she felt herself slowly transformed into an astonishing ornament. But she was left alone with the urgent caution to be very still and silent. And she heard other quick preparations in the room, heard other soft sighs, and she could almost make out the tempo of a heart beating anxiously near her. Finally, her captors appeared again. She was lifted on the great thick cushion like a treasure. The music grew louder as she was carried up the steps, the walls of her sex clamping against the enormous filling of fruit. the honey and the juices trickling out of her. The gold paint dried on her nipples, tightening the skin. On every inch of her flesh, she felt some new stimulation. Into a large chamber, she was brought. The light soft and shimmering, the incense was intoxicating. The air pulsed with the rhythm of tambourines, the strumming of harps, the high metallic tones of other instruments. Over her head, the draped cloth of the ceiling came alive with its hundreds of tiny fragments of mirrored glass, glittering beads, intricate gold patterns. She was set down on the floor again and, turning her head helplessly, saw the musicians far to her left and directly beside her on her right, her new masters sitting cross-legged as they banqueted from large dishes of delicious-smelling food. Their robes and turbans of ornately embroidered silk, their eyes darting to her now and then as they spoke to one another in rapid, muted voices. She writhed on the pillow, holding the edges tight, keeping her legs well apart as she had been taught so well to do with the village and the castle. And her silent, fearful attendants cautioned her, imploring her with dire looks and fingers to the lips, again withdrew to the shadows, where they stood to watch over her unnoticed by those who feasted. Oh, what is this strange world into which I've been reborn, she thought, the fruit swelling against the structure of her heated vagina. She felt her hips ride up from the silk. The earrings throb in her ears. The conversation went on in a natural current. Now and then, one of the dark turban lords smiling at her before he spoke again to the others. But another figure had appeared, something in the corner of her eye, to the left. She saw it was Tristan. He was being brought in on his hands and knees by a long gold chain affixed to a jewel-encrusted collar. And he, too, was polished with gold oil, his nipples gilded. His thick bush of pubic hair was dotted with tiny sparkling jewels and his erect cock glistened under its thin gold burnish. His ears were pierced, not with dangling earrings, but with the single rubies. And the hair of his head was parted in the middle, and he had been beautifully brushed with gold dust. Gilt paint lined his eyes, thickened his lashes, defined the startling perfection of his mouth, and his violet blue eyes burned with an iridescent radiance. His lips moved in a half smile as he was led towards her. He didn't seem sad or afraid, rather lost in his desire to do the bidding of the pretty black-haired angel who led him. And as the dark-skinned one guided him to straddle Beauty, pressing his head down to her left underarm until the face touched the honey, he began to lap it. Beauty sighed, feeling the hard, wet pressure of his licking tongue on the round curve of her flesh, and her eyes grew wide as he cleaned away the liquid, his hair tickling her face, and then he bent to feed upon the right underarm just as greedily. He seemed an alien god leaning over her, his painted face like something from the very depth of her unavowed dreams, his powerful arms and shoulders polished to the magnificent luster. With the tug of the fragile gold chain, the lithe, long-fingered guide drew him down now, lowering his gleaming head until eagerly he took the honeyed date from her navel. Beauty's hips and belly rose sharply at the touch of his lips and teeth, the moan breaking from her, the flowers in her mouth shuddering against her cheeks. And as if through a haze, she saw her distant attendant smiling, nodding, coaxing. Tristan knelt between her legs, and this time the attendant did not have to guide his head. With an almost savage gesture, Tristan gnawed at the dressing of fruit, the soft pressure of his jaws against her pubis maddening her. He consumed the grapes, and his mouth pressed to her pubis lips, he grasped with his teeth the thick chunks of melon. Beauty writhed, clutched at the pillow, her hips rose uncontrollably. Tristan's mouth ground deeper into her, teeth biting at her clitoris, licking it as he extracted more of the fruit. And in a fury of rocking, undulating movements, Beauty pushed with all her might to offer it to him. The conversation in the room had died away. The music was low and rhythmic and almost haunting. And her own moans grew into open-mouthed gasps as the distant young men beamed proudly. Tristan's jaws worked against her, emptying her. And now he lapped the juices from between her legs, his tongue coming up in broad, wet strokes to her clitoris again slowly. She knew her face was blood red. Her nipples were two aching little kernels. She undulated so violently that her buttocks rose off the pillow. But with a wrenching moan of disappointment, she saw Tristan's head rise. The little chain was being jerked. She sobbed softly. Yet it was not over. He was being brought up beside her, to artfully turned around and positioned over her again, his cock descending into her lips as his mouth opened wide to cover her entire pubis. She raised her head, licking at his cock, trying to catch it in the clamp of her lips and capturing it suddenly, pulling it lower as she raised her shoulders. Frantically, she sucked it to the root, the sweet taste of honey and cinnamon mingled with the salt, hot, salty smell of Tristan's flesh, her hips riding fast on the cushion as his mouth as Tristan sucked on the tiny knot between her legs, turning his mouth to close up her thick and pulsing lips with his teeth, his tongue lapping the honey that squeezed out from them. Groaning, almost crying, Beauty nursed from the cock, her head dangling from it, her mouth contracting in time with the spasms between his legs as she felt him suck with sudden violent strength at her clitoris and the mound above it. And as the fiery, shimmery orgasm undulated her, bringing forth her loudest moaning sighs, she felt his cum overflow into her. Locked together, they struggled, and around them in the crowded tent, there was only silence. She saw nothing. She had no thoughts. She felt Tristan slip away. She heard the low rumble of voices again. She knew that the cushion had been lifted and she was being carried away. That's coming up on the book for you. Look at that. We're out of time.
Fuck, good, because I want to go do dirty stuff now.
Thank you very much for being here all week. she has nothing left to say. If you have not ventured out into erotica, we'll try and figure out some links and stuff and post them on the Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
She can't think. And we don't know what we're talking about next week. We're taking requests because we're running out of shit.
No, we're not.
We produced a show a couple weeks ago, didn't we? But I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And have a fantastic Sunday.
Good night or good morning.